Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the paragraph challenge. And don't forget to hit the follow button. I'm getting all mixed up again. And with me today is, as usual, my little sidekick, Mark.
She remembered my name. There you go, amazing.
So we had a lot of interest in our last podcast about confidence. Well, the one that was, it might not have been the last one we put out, but it was one about confidence. And so I thought we'd just kind of expand a little bit on that, talk a little bit more. But first I wanted to read a little statement from Dr. Seuss, who said, "Be who you are, say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind." And so in my line of work, you have to be thick-skinned. You have to be able to engage children and adults in the way they think and the way they learn. And I've had a lot of interesting comments from some of my students. I've been told that my hair looked much better before I got a cut, that it was much nicer when it was long. I've been told that, why am I wearing different eyeshadow? Because it really doesn't look nice. I've had comments about my lipstick. And I know growing up, like, people considered all those sorts of things like bad manners. And I think people now realize that, you know, honesty is not bad manners. The kids are just telling the truth, giving their opinions, and an opinion is personal to each person. Nowadays, a lot of people are very precious about their opinions and think there's only one opinion when there's actually, you know, four or five sides. Yeah.
But I think also with opinions, where it gets a problem is if you take it too much on board.
Yeah.
So I remember I was doing when I was doing English, I was in primary school. I had a brother, Forrester, who said I was very good at English and liked my essays, mm-hmm. right? Even with spelling mistakes, he liked them. Because they were basically like comedies. So all my essays were funny. My next thing
is a big comedian. Think.
I could have been with Michael McIntyre, I'm telling you now.
Wish you were.
I wish I was, yeah. But my next English teacher told me never to write comedies. They were rubbish and that he wasn't going to read them, and that put me off writing English essays for a long time.
So that impacted on your confidence
completely, because I'd lost all confidence in doing essays. I lost all confidence in anything like that until I wrote my first novel. So all that type of stuff it can affect people, especially children. Like if you're told every day you're not good at something, if you're told you can't read properly, if you're told your maths is rubbish. Unless someone tells you and shows you the opposite, you're going to go through life believing that. And even people, you've had adults here who come for courses who believed there couldn't be anything more. So you had someone who ended up going to college and ended up getting a master's. They didn't believe. They thought they were finished. They couldn't do anything else. And that basically they had to take any job they could work at.
Yeah. And I suppose that's the one thing that I always try to engage my students in their area of interest. So I have one student who's very interested in supercars, and we have a lot of in-depth discussions about supercars because I know absolutely nothing about them, obviously, but he knows a lot of information. But because we've built a rapport, he trusts me, and I think that's very important. If you want to build a relationship with a child, a teenager, an adult, you want them to engage in your curriculum, then you have to engage in some area that interests them. You know, it has to be a reciprocal approach. I think that's the mistake that a lot of teachers make. And especially nowadays, kids have such a vast breadth of knowledge. Most of the time, they know far more than the teacher about a vast amount of different things. So they have a huge knowledge base. Unless you're interested in something that they're interested in, they're not interested in what they view as boring topic. And I think that's becoming an increasing problem with kids. And if the teacher expresses, or the parents for that matter, express no interest in what the child is doing, then the child, I suppose, loses enthusiasm
they lose interest.
As a converse to that, or as a result, then their confidence gets knocked because they're like, I suppose they think that, well, what they're interested in is of no value.
But just show you how that can affect you as an adult. I remember a number of years ago, a good few years ago, a colleague of ours was launching the Davis in the UK, mm-hmm. and they're running a phone campaign.
Yeah.
And where people could phone in after some radio shows he did on advertising, explaining what dyslexia was and all that. And I was amazed. Like, there was even one police superintendent, a super inspector, an inspector from the Metropolitan Police who rang in. And I was listening to the call. And it was amazing that he was an inspector in the Metropolitan Police. Mm-hmm. He had realized he was dyslexic, but because he had no confidence, he was upset because he didn't have the courage or the confidence to go on for more promotions. And he felt his career has now stalled, and he was basically wasting his talent and wasting his time. And people who were below him were now overtaking him and becoming his boss. And because of that lack of confidence, he couldn't move on.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, people develop very limiting beliefs. So beliefs that aren't their own, they're other people's.
They're other people's. And, yeah. and the beliefs, 99.9%, they're wrong.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
We always say there's no such thing as a stupid person or a stupid child. There's just no such thing.
No.
But everyone learns in a different way, and everyone likes different subjects. And just because somebody doesn't like one subject doesn't mean that, and have to be careful that a teacher or an adult or a parent saying the wrong comment could put them off learning completely.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful with that.
It's even parents of children whose confidence, I think, is affected. Like, I spoke to a mom recently, and she was very interested in the work I did, and she thought, like, it was really going to help her children. And she was very enthusiastic. She was very delighted. She found a problem, and she sent me a message to say she's going into the school tomorrow, tell the teacher all about it. I always have mixed feelings about that, because they're not always coming from a standpoint of knowledge when it comes to dyslexia. And so then the recommendations are not always appropriate. But anyway, she went into the school, and what they told her was going to cost the lady a lot of money, because they were saying she needed to go and get various different clinicians involved. But what it did, it took the lady's confidence away. I had encouraged her, and I said to her, you're very bright children, which obviously they are. And she came away from the meeting with the school feeling that, well, actually she had two children who were not very intelligent and who were going to need a lot of different interventions, none of which probably would be my services. There would be the services of a range of different professionals. And the lady, I thought it was like very sad that a parent could go into the school enthusiastic, they'd found a way forward, and for a teacher to say, well, actually, no, you're wrong. You don't know your child as well as we do, and this is actually what they need to need a lot more psychological help.
Well, the other side of that is, we have a son who, when he did the mock leaving cert,
yes,
he failed physics in a mock leaving cert, and 12 weeks later, because his grandfather helped him do it in a practical approach, he got an A in physics in the leaving cert. And you had fought with the school, mainly you, for a long time, saying he had to be taught in a different way, and it had to be practical and visual,
yeah,
and
so,
all that.
Well,
the most telling bit of all that was the day we were up there when he was graduating, that the headmaster had the confidence to go up to you and say, Emery, you are right. We were teaching him wrong. And you proved it, that by teaching him, like using his grandfather and other methods, he wouldn't have got that result from most of the way we were teaching him. Which is great to
not
see.
Not from us, you mean from the school.
Sorry, from the school. Yes. Sorry, from most of them.
Oh, you're right, you're talking from the principal's point of view.
Like the principal was acknowledging, which was fantastic to see a principal thinking that and acknowledging they were wrong. And I would hope now, all these years later, that principal and his teachers are teaching people who are dyslexic in a different way and adopting a different approach, because we showed him how someone can go 12 weeks later from a fail to an A in
the
physics.
Half of the reason behind that was the confidence that he got from seeing it presented in a different way. The information was inside his head. So a lot of the time, the information is inside adults, and particularly teenagers' heads.
Is there?
But like, for one reason and another, sometimes it's just they get totally fed up become disinterested and will not engage. So I have one student who just does not want to engage with the education system whatsoever because he doesn't have any value in it. This guy has built computers. He's built a whole load of stuff, highly intelligent. But he sees that the education system has nothing to offer him and that nobody within the system is interested in what he's interested in, which is another problem. But it wasn't only the physics that completely changed. It was everything because we taught a completely different way. Now, he was fortunate. He was in a very privileged school with very small numbers. But like there's a lot of kids in very big schools and they're totally swamped and totally lost. The teachers are lost. They don't know what to do with them.
Because what I said before, though.
The kids, once their confidence goes in a teenager, particularly with boys, girls seem to peddle through. Boys are like, okay, I'm not doing it. I'm giving up.
But that's why when I went to school, I went AWOL without leave, right, without permission. And people say, well, oh, you're supposed to be in school and you left and you did, and basically what we used to call the Mitch. Where are they going, the Mitch? The library.
Yes, you said this in another podcast.
Yeah, I went to Raheny Library. People, you maybe used to see me in Raheny Library. But the point
is... That's because you were probably hiding there.
Probably hiding. But the point is...
And it was free.
I hadn't got the confidence to go to school because I knew I was going to do bad that day or hadn't got stuff done. But the amazing thing with the Davis program, I have to say, and I'm not trained in the Davis program, I've seen people come in here on a Monday to do a week's course with you with a baseball cap on or the hood over the head or looking down. They cannot hold a conversation with more than two words. And by Friday, the individuals are chatting away, talking. And I've seen people who weren't going to school. And when they finish your course, the parents saying they're going to school two or three days a week now. And they see a whole different person. And that's the thing I saw with Christian. Like, Christian's confidence went through the roof. Why? It wasn't that he was going to be fluent reading. It was because he had the confidence to know he learned in a different way. And that was his way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, no one was saying it was the right way or the wrong way. Actually, they were saying it wasn't the wrong way. But they were saying it was his way. And he had the confidence to go to school and say, no, I don't learn that way. And this is how I will learn the words or I will do something. And that's how he prospered.
Absolutely. I'm going to read you another quote that I really like where it says, Albert Einstein said it, that I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious. So he didn't believe he was a genius, even though we all think he was. And I think that, so if you have a small child that is really curious about something in their lives. So I have one little guy who's very interested in farming and very interested in turtles. I had some other students who are very interested in dinosaurs. These dinosaurs seem to be to interest boys greatly. I think the key to keeping them engaged in education is to encourage the area that they're interested in, use that area of interest to help them in other areas. And I think, one of my students went into school and he can talk very fluently. Actually, we're going to get him on next week to talk about dinosaurs.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but he was in school a few years ago talking about dinosaurs. And I think the teacher made a comment like, oh my God, I didn't know that he knew that much information. Because she hadn't taken the trouble to find out anything about the child.
True.
Now, anyone who knows this child
knows he's very bright.
Yeah, but apart from that, he talked for hours.
Every day.
About dinosaurs. So what was he doing in school? He must have been just sitting there saying nothing because you could literally not put in a whole day with them without learning something about a dinosaur. So I think appeal to parents out there to, if your kids are interested in something, go with their interest.
Find out, milk it.
Yeah, and use that interest, to engage them in other areas. Don't see it as a negative thing. A lot of people now are going, oh, they're completely focused on one thing. I want to broaden their things. That all that does is upsets the child.
And the gas thing about that is, when we get older, if we're working as an accountant, we focus on accountancy. If we're working as a solicitor, we focus on law.
Yeah.
If we work as a painter, we will focus on painting.
It's an contradiction, really. To focus on a specific thing for a length of time. Anyway, so I think...
So confidence. So what we're saying is, make sure give your children as much confidence as possible. Find something they love. If it's making pancakes, If it's going out digging holes in the garden, no matter what it is.
We have a lot of holes.
We have a lot of holes. We have ponds everywhere because our son is big in the fish. And it makes him feel fantastic. And now he's working in the working for his hobby and he absolutely loves it. So find out what you love.
Get them out in the fresh air.
Yeah.
And that is another thing that I am very passionate about, is that kids need to follow their interests. They need to get fresh air. They need to eat well. So,
and we're very blessed that we have a big garden. Yeah. So we're very grateful for that. I'm very blessed that we have.
But
and
bring them to the park.
Yeah.
Park's free. Go to the beach. Climb rocks. Climb mountains. Kids love climbing. If they're not good at climbing, just, you know, start on low things. Because exercise is so important. Coordination is so important. Get your kids playing balls, throwing balls back and forwards, hopscotch, skipping. All the old games we used to play are great for kids' coordination. Coordination helps with confidence, helps with focus. They all work together. And as I like to say, help you create a life you love. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to like and follow. You can follow me on all social media platforms as Anne-Marie Beggs or The Paragraph Challenge. And Mark will tell you where you can follow him.
Yeah, you can follow me on therightframeacademy.com on any of the podcasts. And also my children's story, The Umbrella Girls and The Tree People, T-R-E-E. I have to keep spelling that all the time. And don't forget, Anne-Marie's book actually is on special on a download on Kindle at the moment for, I think it's €4
it's
or €3.50 sterling. And it's called A Bridge Between Two Nears. And just put in the, just put Anne-Marie Beggs into Amazon and it'll pop up there for you. Thanks very much for listening. Appreciate it.
Bye.